Our reading tonight is found in the Hebrews chapter 5, verses 7 up to chapter 6, verse 1. Chapter 5, verses 6, verses 7, 6, up to chapter 6, verse 1. Let's pray. Oh Lord our God, we entrust to you our meditation of your holy word. Speak now thus to us. Hide me behind that cross, O Lord. And not even allow myself to be seen as something of myself, but be the one that speaketh thus the word of God. Lord, speak us to us now, magnify thy name, and we pray that you will teach us to humble ourselves as you speak to all of us about the truths of your word tonight. May you humble us before thee and accept the necessity of moving on to our faith. If there is a tendency that our faith is being slowed down because of the previous years' trials and difficulties, the effect of the COVID, and also other struggles of our lives. But thank you for thy abundant grace that is sufficient to meet all our needs. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Reading from Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7, up to chapter 6, verse 1. Who, in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong cries and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared, though he were a son, yet learned obedience by things which he suffered. Verse 9, and being made perfect, and became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Called of God an high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. For when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But be strong, in verse 14, but strong meat belongeth to them that are full of age, even those who by reason of use of their senses exercise to discern both good and evil. Chapter 6, verse 1, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, that laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. I'm sure some of you who are in the age of less than 30 or 40 at the moment, during the outbreak of the Vietnam War, which is just near the Philippines, there are questions that were raised concerning the commitment of the South Vietnamese people, which are being helped by the United States, from being subjugated to annex South Vietnam or Saigon. America, as an enemy at that time, two superpowers, Russia and China, who both helped the North Vietnamese. So they said that World War III started slowly from that time on until in these days, but in a lesser degree. But having said this, Vietnam War, there is that issue that this commitment of the South Vietnamese soldiers are in question. There have been times when the South Vietnamese have not seemed to care enough deeply about the possession or taking back, regaining back their freedom from the oppressive North Vietnamese, continually bomb there or try to invade them on borders until it become an issue, world international issue, that America was forced to be involved in supporting Saigon. And of course, that time as well is a dangerous time in which the enemy of the United States are two superpowers. And it's a dangerous moment in our time at that time. I was working at that time as a copy maker in the office of the base commander of Clark Air Force Base, which is the biggest base in Asia. And I remember that you always, you know, the C-130 Hercules, you always fly back and forth to rearm the American forces there and to send some troops there as well to continually sustain the war. But in the end, the war was not a successful one, as you all can recall. And America has to give up and to stop the war because of losing a lot of American lives. Particularly when this issue of the seriousness of the South Vietnamese government, they don't seem to care about it. So some of the returning veterans indicate that it is sometimes impossible to tell who the enemy really was. At that time, I recall that when the height of the war, I recall that when the Americans are fighting in the night, there are news that Americans are shooting their own fellow soldiers because of the difficult terrain that's quickly impossible to identify your fellow soldiers. So That event actually went on and on, that even in the daytime, you cannot, it's difficult also whether the Saudi-Vietnamese are for you or against you, because these are being camouflaged by the Saudi-Vietnamese soldiers who come in Saigon and try to camouflage their face as if they are Saudi-Vietnamese soldiers. So it's difficult to really identify who are your enemies in this war. That's why America actually, well, they said they lost the war because of a lot of lives involved, American lives, until President Nixon was actually questioned on his constant support of the war. But he has to end the war because the whole nation is crying, until all those students in universities try to rally against him to stop the war. And there are a lot of incidents of shooting because of that big anarchy in American history. People want to see the war stop as soon as possible. But in these instances that America suffered, lost, and because of lack of support or real commitment from the forces that they have been helping to regain their freedom, even greater concern can be learned of the fact that such characteristics are found in numbers of God's people who are members of churches in these days, because we don't know who are coming into the church and what type of support they give to the church. And there are a lot of churches who suffered intercepted, or being people are coming in to promote their own way and their teaching are not doctrinally based on the Bible, and it causes division among the church. And so it is difficult as well when they come into the church, who are for the church and who are actually trying to control it for their own end, because they just want to promote themselves. And there are a lot of churches today who are suffering from this. That's why we can call this problem that we are facing in the Hebrews chapter 5 up to verse 7 to 6 verse 1, is the problem. We are confronting a problem that is called the virus of stunted Christians. You know the word stunted? In our Philippine army, or the if you see a carabao, an animal that actually carry a lot of rice, when the farmer goes into his field, and they use that wood, that piece of bamboo that is in stunted, by putting, when the bamboo is growing, they put a limiting growth of that bamboo. It just follows through. There's a curve like this, in which the growth of the bamboo is stunted and is being controlled by that frame. So that when it is expected to have that kind of growth, stunted growth, it is being dried and is being used on top of the neck of the caravan, the buffalo, that will help the farmer to carry his planting onto the field, and when there is harvest, he put his harvest back on that cart, used by helped by this manual mechanism. At that time, 50 years ago, farmers are not highly mechanized. They just use animals, caravan. But I just illustrated that word stunted, because that is how it is illustrated. I can better picture it, so that in the life of the church, that word stunted is pictured by the writer of the Hebrews in the midst of the discussion of the priesthood of Christ, to direct a warning to those who claim Christ as Savior and yet resemble an army that doesn't care. He addresses those whose actions fail to indicate a dedication necessary for victory in the name of Christ. So we are suffering. The church is suffering from dedicated lives to move on the work of Christ and preaching the gospel, so that more souls will be saved and the church will continue to expand in its success to reach the lost ones. The church's greatest foe or enemy has never been the forces of evil, but rather the weakness and the immaturity of its own membership. I think let's face it, that's the reality, isn't it? It's not per se the forces of evil, but the forces of evil are at work behind those Christians who want to be stunted, who want to remain weak in their spiritual growth and their sense of immaturity. Of course, the evil forces are at work. However, we have also the forces of God at work to build us our faith. And this is the thing that we're going to explore. So the first thing that I would like to picture to you of the verses we read is that stunted Christians shun or they refuse Christ-likeness. Let's look back at Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11. Of whom, verse 11, we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. Well, that's a very serious charge here. The writer of the Hebrews sees that these Hebrew Christians have developed a virus of fighting Christ-likeness when the spirit of selfishness and self-image develops to the leadership, then there arises a dull of hearing. Dull of hearing. Mm-hmm. And that is causes when the doctrine of the Bible, particularly the basic ones, like the doctrine of grace, the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, some Christians don't want a deeper understanding of these doctrines. And rather, they promote their own sense of just mere little understanding. They're contented of the plain understanding of the way that they want to understand these doctrines. They don't want different ones. Mm. I've heard some groups, you always talk about doctrines. you make it hard for other Christians to understand, you know, like the doctrine of sovereign grace, the doctrine of the omnipotence of God, the doctrine of omniscience of God, the doctrine of the omnipresence of God, and the sovereign will of God, and even God's miraculous intervention in our church today, and even the providence of God. There are a lot of people who doesn't want to hear difficult discussion about doctrines. And this causes the church stunted in their spiritual growth, because they don't want to be involved in heavy discussions and debates. And also causing trouble in the relationship as a result of disagreeing to that person who, or to that pastor who have this biblical, necessary biblical teaching for the growth of the church. There are people in the church nowadays who doesn't want this kind of discussion, so that this is instanted Christians does not actually want to be like Christ. They just want to be ordinary people. They don't want more than that, because of the high demand of it. Because it demands Christ-likeness. If we want all to grow deeper in spiritual understanding of Christ's purposes for us as his people, we must actually pursue the doctrine of Christ. It's likeness. So one might assume that any Christian would enjoy the discussion of priesthood of believers or the priesthood of Christ, but such is not the case. And those who refuse such teaching are actually refusing Christ-likeness. Rather, the writer of Hebrews finds it difficult to continue the discussions as he remembers the great bulk of Christians who have no ear of it. He indicates that although he has many things to say, they are hard to be uttered, seeing in verse 11, you are full, F-U-L-L, you are full of, you are dull, not full, you are D-U-L-L, you are dull of hearing. Can you imagine, let's stop and pause for a moment. If we are talking about the doctrine of the sovereignty of God, the doctrine of the will of God, the doctrine of the church of God, the doctrine of Christ, the doctrine of the Trinity, which involves the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that is the very basic one. If we don't have that basic understanding, we won't grow beyond our low point of short-sightedness, who the Father is, who Christ is, and who the Holy Spirit is, involved in our daily reading of God's Word, which speaks about the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. If we don't continue on these doctrines, we will be stunted. We'll be stunted, and that's the effect of many parents who does not attend anymore churches, because they don't want their children to have a deeper struggle about difficult issues, difficult doctrines. But that's not a reason where parents who don't understand doctrine to stop sending their children. In fact, one family, as you know, are coming because their parents are influential in the teaching of the doctrine of Christ, the doctrine of salvation. These are very important, so that You can see the difference of the response of young people and their parents nowadays who formerly come about 10 or 15 years ago. Now, we don't see them. And that's why we need to pray for them. And our prayer meeting are listed with such parents and these young people to continue their faith so that when she dull hearing from the people who attend the church many years ago, we can continue to remember them and personally engage them in the doctrines of the Bible. How tragic that Christians could be described as being dull of hearing. Isn't that tragic? When the writer of the Hebrews knows. I, for one, believe that the Apostle Paul is the author of Hebrews. Regardless of, you know, of what you know about who is the author, but strongly, I believe that the Apostle Paul is the author of Hebrews. That's why he knows that those who don't conform to the will of God and to the will of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and the fruits of the Holy Spirit, and Christ-likeness, they are being charged as dull of hearing. They refuse intentionally to have a deeper understanding of these important doctrines of God, of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Because if we have lesser understanding of this, then any struggles, any problems, without understanding the plan of God the Father, the plan of Christ, the plan of the Holy Spirit in every believer, then spiritual growth will not be achieved. It will stunt that person. So that the word translated dull literally means no focus, no necessary advancement. No focus. It's just like our pokes in the Philippines, without poking in words. Some young people, some children who are disobedient, they don't listen, they don't obey their parents. So I have learned many, many statements like that. I need to continue to poke you. I need to continue to remind you of these things so that you will move on to action and not remain stagnant. That is the word nokus to the people who are dull of hearing. They don't want to be, they don't want any more further discussion, deeper discussion. They just want simple things like the love of Christ, the love of God. You know, they don't want any other things as difficult. Just like putting themselves, no more pushing, no more furthering your thoughts to me. There are a lot of Christians who are in that kind of category. Christians who try to stop Christ-likeness in their lives have a sluggish mind when Christian doctrine is being discussed. Of course, there are some difficult doctrines, but it's not of the Bible, but it doesn't mean that we need to stop our hearing, because they are very important for our growth in moving on to our Christian faith. They are described as an arm numb, and because your half of your left arm numb, or your foot, when it is continually for a longer period of time bend, and there is no feeling in it because there is lesser flow of the blood. But once you stretch it, the numbness disappears, isn't it? So there are Christians who are numb because of this lack of deepening interest and understanding of the doctrine of the Bible. And they are numb when the spiritual leadership of the Holy Spirit is actually being not welcomed by Christians. Okay? So Jesus, our Lord, often reminded his disciples that ears were to be used for hearing. He said that he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. In other words, the ears must be used intently to receive the deeper things of God. And this is where we need to emphasize to ask God to give us a deepening understanding through a deep hearing of God's word. So the literal language of Hebrews 5, verse 12, which I would like to read, for when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Imagine if the membership of the church just always need milk. I was reminded of our neighbor that their son always say milk, milk. That's in the Philippines. And doesn't express any other food but milk, milk. Imagine if that is the churches of Christ are always looking for milk. Of course, at one point, we started from milk. But we need to move beyond the milk stage of our faith. So, verse 12 indicates for us the need to be hearing the word of God deeper, because this is not easily developed by us. We need to seek God for God's help. We need the Holy Spirit to actually have a deeper understanding of the word of God. Praying that the Holy Spirit will open our eyes, our closed eyes, our darkened mind. When our mind is darkened, and that continually studying the doctrines of God in the Bible, we will use that moment to dull our hearing. That's why we need to continually read verse 12 in helping us develop this deeper hearing, so that we will not continually need teachers all the time, but the end result that when the word of God is and the doctrines of God, the doctrines of the Bible are being taught systematically, then our lives are affected by it. Because like the doctrine of grace, we are always dependent upon grace. There's nothing we can do without the grace of God. We cannot even conceive of confessing our sin without the grace operating, the sanctifying grace of Christ, used by the Holy Spirit to draw closer to God, to call closer to God in prayer, and also to read the word of God with a deeper longing to know who Christ is, to develop that, like Noah, he walked with God for 300 years. Can you imagine that? For 300 years, Noah walked with God for 300 years because he spent time to what God is telling him to do, especially in building that ark. That ark is a picture of Christ who will save the world from the bondage of sin, so that the doctrines of the Bible are all important for our continuous moving out of closed minds to openness, to deeper understanding of our Lord Jesus Christ, the doctrine of Christ, the doctrine of his teaching, the doctrine of salvation, the doctrine of grace, the doctrine of the Trinity, and the attributes of God. We all need these things. Because without the appreciation of understanding, because like the doctrine of God, the Trinity is basic one, because we want to understand God, his ways of dealing with us, his ways of drawing us to himself, his way of putting all the knowledge about him so that we can call unto him in a way that we can put honor and praises and glory to God. We are beholding God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his glorious attributes. If we don't understand these doctrines or the attributes of God, we cannot even praise God as we should and move with such words of honor and dignity in worshiping God. That's why when we have all the right understanding of the doctrine of God, that we need, that we develop the right words to praise God, to worship God, and to honor him. Because if we don't have that established knowledge about this doctrine of the Trinity, for example, and the doctrine of the sovereign grace of God, we will lack expression in calling unto God as the God who drew us closer to him, who is continually drawing us to him, like Enoch of old and Mary of old preferred not the things of the world, but preferred under the discipleship of the teaching of Christ. And until now, she is remembered for that. So this is what we need to understand, that in verse 12, for the work of God, I'm reading verse 4. For when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. Well, the first oracles of God is that when the word of God, the teachers of the word of God, the elders of the church, the pastors of the churches, they are actually the one in making this known, in making this clear to people. It's like in prayer meeting, in Bible studies, and also preaching the word of God. If the doctrines are not being preached in the way that conviction, convict the fear of God, reverence of God, reverence of fear of God, and loving Christ, and loving the fruits of the Holy Spirit, walking with the Holy Spirit, seeing this multiplied in our lives, then this stunted tendency of the heart of a believer will continually to be stunted because of the lack of the teaching of the of this imprint. Now, the imprint of Christ of such people who are called stunted, who have a stunted view of the doctrines of God, of Christ, and the Trinity, is often difficult to recognize because they don't show it. The Holy Spirit is not highly at work. When the Holy Spirit is not highly at work, by totally depending and calling on him, asking him to live the Christ-likeness of Christ in our lives, it's difficult to identify how that Christian can be a blessing, isn't it? I don't know about you, but there, in my first stage as Christian in the Philippines, this American serviceman, I was fetching water, and I don't know him. He's also getting water outside the base. There are people like queuing up. or water, safe drinking water. Did you know this man? I didn't know that he's a Christian. He just talked to me gently and kindly and invited me to have a coffee with a cake in his house. And he began sharing about the church, which is where I belong. And he began inviting me and praying for me. And that moved me, that really impressed me. That kind of kindness impressed me about the character that is showing up in getting interested about my spiritual well-being. And I think this is what we need to realize, that instead of needing continual teachers, we should be actually teaching others rather than on the receiving end. We should be actually a useful vessel. When we already understood this for a number of years, we should actually be teachers of the Word of God in some other way or form that God can use us in His church. And we need to pray that Sunday school will be reignited, restarted. Oh, we will say, oh, they're not young people, there are no children. Well, that's it, that's the starting point. When there are no seeming children who are coming, we need to recognize the ministry of the Holy Spirit to reignite our love for new children, new young people, and their parents to come to our church, so that we will no longer anymore beneficiaries of teaching for longer time, but we in turn receive the teaching, should be actually teaching the children as well. Should be teaching the young people, leading them to know the deeper truths of God's word. And some of the young people as well who have the calling to be a minister of God, some are stunted because they're not being encouraged. Their talents are not being tapped to the fullest. That's why these young people go to different type of church, because they don't feel like they are being used in the church. So it's actually an outgrowth. The work of God's Holy Spirit is an outgrowth of expanding, investing ourselves to young people and to disciple them. The five men, young men or young people, are inviting one Christian or one unbeliever for this year. Then, of course, we are also praying for them. And that will be the starting point of God, who is the harvest, who is the author of harvest, can actually encourage us to see some new children, new young people, new parents to come in. You know, the best television set produces only a snowy picture when the aerial is directed away from the station. Have you noticed that? You have television, when the aerial is actually, it's not directly linked, yeah, to the station where it is located, it will only produce a snowy picture, isn't it? But when it is readjusted to the correct angle, then it produces the picture from the center. There are Christians, some Christians, who purposely dial God out of their interests, because they don't want to experience more commitment in their lives to Christ. They want to be counted among Christians, but have a fear of being too much demand to be Christ-like. I think this is a problem. Why a lot of churches suffer, including us actually, suffer from this lack of response from parents with children, young people, who were supposed to be growing, their parents actually even did not commit themselves to continuous teaching, did not commit themselves to continuous attendance of hearing the gospel being preached. And that is the charge of the Hebrews in verse 11, that because of this lack of understanding of the different doctrines of the Word of God, then those who are supposed to be teachers, those who are supposed to be harvesters of souls, they still are being, want to be encouraged. They still want, they don't have initiative to come and say, look, pastor, look, I feel some sense of needing to be used in God's kingdom. We should not actually blame the church for not being used in the church. If you have the gift, if the Holy Spirit has gifted you some kind of gifts that makes you a useful vessel in God's kingdom, whatever that little gift, we must actually come to the pastor and ask that that kind of commitment needs to be actually expanded for the continuous use of those Christians who have that calling, who have that sense of gifts that need to be used by God in any church. And then secondly, we're not that some standard Christians not only shun Christ-likeness, but Christians who are dwarfed refuse responsibility. They refuse responsibility. Look at what verse 12 says. For the word of God, I always look at verse 4. Verse 12 says, for when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. So, and have become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Imagine if members of the church are only receiving all the time teaching and are not themselves becoming teachers of the Word of God, encouragers of the Word of God, prayer warriors for Christ in the church, then what we are actually portraying is not strong meat, but only milk of the Word of God. Milk all the time. It reminds me of what I said a while ago, that a lot of Christians nowadays always cry for milk rather than strong meat. That is the sad description of standard Christians who refuse responsibility. Any course of action that constantly refuses responsibility will produce a stunted Christian characteristic. The purpose behind being taught is that one may himself become a teacher. The reason why Bible doctrines are constantly being preached on a daily basis, on, say, on the book that always being preached week by week, is that the doctrine of Christ, the doctrine of responsibility, is being portrayed, is being re-emphasized again and again. Because if we don't see the doctrine being emphasized, being taught, then one will remain only a receiver of God's word rather than initiator of reaching out to other people and teaching out, teaching others about who Christ is. I was challenged by meeting my former pastor in the Philippines, who we have a lunch together, and he surprised me with all the I thought he was just a pastor for 10 years at Clarkville Baptist Church and taught homiletics, preaching in the Baptist seminary where most Americans were driven out from China in 1952, mm-hmm. went to the Philippines because that's the only place open for the gospel, the Philippines. And they put us a seminary there. So this American minister, who graduated from Louisville, Kentucky, Southwestern Seminary, he asked his leading missionaries in Europe, who are Christians, of course, from America, who have developed and heard as a result of preaching the gospel, result of preaching the doctrines, have felt the call of God to be missionaries in foreign countries. And they send them with a calling, with full support and encouragement. And this pastor actually is the one supervising all this work. And he's telling me as well some wonderful words this year, about going to Mindanao in training young ministers, about 400 of them, I think, 400 of them. And then also in Manila. But anyway, these are just things that that the effect of preaching the gospel and preaching the doctrine of Christ have that effect upon Christians. So that when we ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which the first principles of the oracles of God, which is developing us as useful vessel of God in his kingdom, that we will need to move, not just receivers per se, but we become one that reach out to others and preach the gospel to them.
Already?
It's time, yeah. I know, thank you. Now, what are the solution to lack of Christ-likeness and also lacking responsibility? What is the solution to that? Well, let's see the verse 11, verse 1 of chapter 6. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, like the love of Christ, the loving our neighbor, let's move on unto perfection. That's it, the perfection of understanding the doctrine of Christ, the doctrine of the Trinity, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, the doctrine of sovereign grace, the doctrine of the church, the doctrine of the Bible, the doctrine of salvation. All these things need that we should not, we are not expected to master everything, but an adequate understanding of it will move us on to spur us up unto greater usefulness in God's kingdom. So the those who does not, who refuse Christ-likeness, who refuse responsibility in the church, are promoters actually of stagnation, remaining stagnant. When people does not see us involved in the ministry, then they also are affected. Can you imagine, you know, one, I'm not magnifying any church. There's one church in London that trains young people because of expanded Sunday school, and they grow in that understanding of doctrine, and they are being led to know the will of God, to respond to the call of God for their lives. And because of this constant teaching, praying for the word of God to be inculcated among young people and adults, so that when that happens, we don't have any more problem of reaching out to the community, isn't it? I have a dream, I have a hope that new sets of young people, new sets of children, new sets of parents will respond to the preaching of the gospel. And the result of that is we should not be apathetic to the needs of those around us. But when we see the people, Christians, who are discouraged and are not pursuing Christ-likeness and are not continually getting interested in taking small responsibility and contributing something to the church, anything. It could be a repair, it could be cleaning, it could be anything, or teaching Sunday school. Let's pray for all these things so that this stagnation will be developed by example of Christ, Christ-likeness, and taking full responsibility of little things that is already known where the church is located. And if need be that you need to be used, you can ask the minister to pray with you so that such usefulness will become an expansion of small things. Someone told me in closing, Ernie, if you remain faithful in small things, God will expand it into greater things. And I think that is related to what I'm about to ask. If we can read, we can sing again this Psalm 119.
Just
maybe one or two verses. Okay.
Verses 33 and 34.
Okay. 33 and 34.
Just one moment, so please share the screen.
I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Teach me, O Lord, the perfect way of thy precepts divine, and to my strength to the end I shall my heart incline. If understanding comes to me, so keep thine. In my whole heart I shall serve it carefully.
Thank you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.
Amen.
Well, I look forward to seeing some of you tomorrow morning at 6 o'clock. And thank you, Brother Ernie. Thank you all for joining us. And I'll say, bid you all good night. The Lord bless you.
Thank you.
Sarah, it's nice to have you with us. I hope you'll come back. I hope to see you perhaps one early morning. And I hope to see your face
if
in church.
I can. I don't promise.
Do come on Sunday if you're free. Sister Faye, are you feeling better?
Still
not well. Okay. Nice to have you, Sister Juliet.
Thank you, Pastor.
That's great. That's very kind. Say good night to all of you.
Good night.
Bye.
Good night.
I'll bring the desserts. Yeah.